You're listening to the Clutter Fairy Weekly, a weekly webcast and podcast brought to you by the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas. If you'd like to participate in one of our live webcasts, please visit cfhou.com/weekly. You'll find a calendar of upcoming webcasts, as well as instructions for joining the Zoom meeting via the app or by phone. We'd love to see you. That URL again is cfhou.com/weekly. Now here's the weekly episode. Enjoy.
Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. This is the Clutter Fairy Weekly for August 16th, 2022. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, certified professional organizer and owner of the Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is the webcast and podcast that digs deep into the clutter that piles up between you and the life you want to be living. We explore the habits and behaviors that lead to clutter, and we suggest strategies to slow the accumulation, reduce the collection, and comfortably manage the stuff we decide to keep.
If you're new to our Zoom meeting, we want to let you know that you can share your questions and comments via the chat feature, and I'll try to make sure Gail gets to them before we move to another topic. You can also use the raise hand feature if you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. And we're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can ask questions and share comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. We'll start by recapping last week's tittle, which was called
Make the Common Area Special.
Yes, thank you. I did not have the right page open, so you saved me there. The assignment was to examine a common area of your home and work toward optimizing it for your use and enjoyment. We want to hear from our participants here in Zoom and on Facebook who explored the living room or family room this week. Please let us know in the comments. YouTube viewer Len shared this comment. A major key to success is the reset every night. I used to leave my dining out beside my rocking chair in the living room slash dining room, but recently decided to place it in a nice basket that I move into my craft studio every night. It makes a major difference to have a nice, visually clear space to eat breakfast the next morning.
Lynn, I'm so glad you're doing this. Let me just cheer for you. I'm a firm believer in the nightly reset. It's sometimes a little silly how many things I try to pick up to make one trip from the den where I've been watching the TV to put away all the random stuff I've gotten out over the evening. I'll pick up my shoes, the drink glass that I use, the mail I open, the check I deposited, contents of the package I open. I almost always drop something along the way, so apparently I never learn, but it's also kind of a game to me. Can I get it all in one go? I just can't ignore that long list of small things that I've disturbed sitting around the den. I wander around putting things back, stopping by the kitchen with leftover dishes. I clean those dishes and reset the sink for the next day. I give the cats treats on the way by and head out with the rest of my stuff to put back. I arrive in the bedroom with anything that goes there or my closet, and then my hands are empty again. It gives me a great sense of satisfaction as I get in the bed. And I know that I won't be annoyed by anything when I get up the next morning. I go to bed knowing that I've made the space good for my grumpy morning self the next day. I'm being kind to my future self. And so, Lynn, your crafty self is being kind to your morning self by putting the knitting away every night. And good for you. The rest of you should follow Lynn's example and try it sometime. Reset something at the end of the day and see how it feels the next morning. I bet you will love it.
Naomi says, the good news, I dropped off 4 items for a couple of neighbors and myself to a charity. The bad news, I went inside and bought 4 items. The good news, 3 of them were already on my shopping list.
Okay, sort of. All right. So it is, if you want to get ahead of the game, it needs to be a net loss position. When you drop things off, you don't want to take back as many things as you dropped off. But
well, and she didn't say how many of the 4 things she dropped off were hers. Some were for neighbors, so
she may have like increased the volume. Yes.
Okay. or at least stayed level.
Let's just go with it was something big, and it made some footprint to drop something off. And hopefully the things that you bought and brought back were not big. They were little. But Yeah. Dropping off should not also be a shopping experience. So you want to try to just drop off and go away. That's the goal.
Linda says, I refer to that nightly reset as my closing routine.
Oh, that's good. The closing routine.
If you've ever worked in retail, you probably have experienced a closing routine. Retail or restaurants too.
Yes, exactly.
Closing routine.
Where you have to shut everything down and get it ready for the people to start using it the next day.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a great idea. That's a great lingo to use.
Jimmy said, with my sister keeping me company and help from my daughter moving out an old couch that needed to go, and with inspiration from last week, I made so much progress this week.
Good for you. And a couch is that's a big footprint. If you can get a couch out that doesn't need to be there, you have just cleared up a huge amount of space. So congratulations on that. And good job. It sounds like you're doing great.
Naomi clarified that the fourth item is a birthday present for her daughter. So she is still at a net decrease. So.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. We're glad.
I mean, she did say three things were on her list. So they were things she has judged that she needs. So.
Okay. All right.
Deborah said, I had homemade kombucha explode all over a wall in my kitchen/living room. and repainted it this weekend.
You mean you didn't want the kombucha color, on the wall?
And then
y'all are making me laugh today.
But she went on to say, okay, who are we kidding? A friend did it for me while I lounged and drank wine and murmured deep appreciation and oohs and ahs.
Whatever it works, you get free labor, Deborah. That's the thing. Y'all are making me laugh hard today. Oh my gosh. So, nothing like an exploding something to make you clean up an area you've been ignoring.
Right. We're not even ignoring, but
Would kombucha explode? What's to explode?
It ferments. It's a fermented thing.
Well, yeah,
so it can blow the cap, it can blow the lids off or caps off your bottles.
I think that is, too dangerous to drink, and y'all should stop it.
Connie said, not quite the tittle, but washed windows in the living room, and in that process, got rid of things that were on the sills, which didn't belong there.
There you go. Things that had just been parked there because it's a little horizontal space that's out of the way. So good for you. That's some refresh. That's some feng shui you're doing over there to clear out underneath the windowsill. I mean, along the windowsill there. Good job.
Ginger said, nightly reset is a regular habit here, but we're pretty good during the day to scan a space before we leave it and set it right.
Which makes it, happen faster, right? Like the fact that you're doing it regularly and you're doing it, you work in an area and then you sort of reset it before you leave. That's a good one. And that lessens the burden for all at once. It gives you, little short bursts all day long. And then you're never, you're not spending an hour resetting. You're only spending 5 minutes all the time.
Susie had mentioned last week plans to drop stuff off at Salvation Army, and she pulled the trigger on that. So that's taken care of.
Yay. Doesn't that feel great? Aren't you super excited that all those things are gone now? That is so wonderful.
And Kara said, I was much more aware of what I left about in the common room. Love the result.
There you go. If you pay attention, you realize, I put that down. I got to go pick that back up and put it back where it goes. That's awesome. Good job, Kara.
Naomi added the good news. One of the items I bought is an immersion blender, which will enable me to declutter the countertop blender. So the footprint decreases.
Okay, so that's good.
I'm moving in the right direction.
I'm jiving with the trade out. You're trading out for something that doesn't have as big of a footprint, and I get it. It's cool.
Renee reported taking unused CPAP supplies and a machine to Project Cure, took one box of clothes to charity.
Excellent. It is hard to get rid of medical equipment, but there is definitely places that collect it and people that need it. And I'm not sure what the way that they've got that medical device sort of stuff set up. they put them on automatic subscription or they deliver on a schedule or something. And there's always an excess of supplies where somebody's been receiving way more than they actually use. And so I hate for people to throw that kind of stuff away, but you can't take it to Goodwill. So you do have to find a place that can accept medical equipment. And it, if you make the effort, it will actually go to some place that then is going to make use of it somewhere else that doesn't have the money, don't have the resources to do it. And so great job. And I'm proud of you, Renee, for getting that stuff out of the house and getting it somewhere where it can be used instead of being thrown away.
All right, let's start. Let's move on to our main topic, which is the primary bedroom. And we're trying to get in the habit of using the terminology primary or main in keeping with the trend in the real estate biz, which is not to call the master, what was formerly called the master bedroom, the master anymore, just because, you know, the word has unpleasant connotations for some people. And we want to respect that. And so we're going to call it primary or main. And we apologize in advance if we slip and use that other word. The bedroom should be a quiet, peaceful sanctuary where we recharge ourselves and enjoy intimate moments. But when clutter invades, visual distractions and mental noise can sap our energy and erode the quality of our sleep. Today, we'll offer tips for transforming your main bedroom from a stress-inducing mess into a tranquil refuge.
As we've started doing recently, we took a survey from about our audience's experience of clutter in the main bedroom. And we started by asking participants to share a word or a phrase to describe the current condition of their primary bedroom. It's a significant minority of respondents that had positive things to say, like it's relaxing and cozy, or it's reasonably tidy. Viv said, my ideal bedroom, clean, comfortable, and calming. So congratulations to everybody who's already made progress in turning the bedroom into someplace soothing and wonderful for them. Most of the responses were more along these lines, though. Claire wrote, tidy bed and clothes, but stashes of stuff that are either deferred decisions or just don't have a home. And Eve wrote, cluttered and chaotic. One of my favorite ones just wrote the word ugh. And Rhoda said, if you turn sideways, you can get to the dresser, which I thought was hilarious. And I have been in so many rooms where you have to, like, you know, wiggle your way around and through stuff. You have to step very carefully to get there. And so I got a great visual when I saw that.
And sometimes you can't even turn around to come out. You have to just back up, retracing your steps.
Right. You can't, like, pivot very much, right? Depending on how big you are. Yes. And when you have to turn sideways to get to the dresser, then, you know, I take up a little bit of space and I have I end up catching things with my big feet, with my big rear end, with my elbows. Like, I sort of become the bull in the china shop when it gets too tight. So you can declutter by having me over and knocking things down. We also asked the audience to share a description of the ideal state of your main bedroom. And here are a couple of our favorite answers. From Selena, who said, enough shelf space so that my books or school papers or my backpack don't end up on my workout mat, a space for the bedside table so that the dirty dishes don't end up on the mat either, and that nothing ends up on my chair. No mess on the windowsill, which is just by my desk and serves as the desk extension, she says. There's more to Selena's answer that we don't have time to share, but it sounds as if Selena has a clear vision and now she's ready to start taking some steps to have that bedroom. And I will add, because she said she wanted some place to put the dirty dishes on, I would suggest that the dirty dishes become part of the nightly reset, that you don't have a space for them on the bedside table. Instead, you pick up the dirty dishes and take them into the kitchen so that you don't have to live with them in the bedroom when you go to bed. And making that one trip out of the bedroom into the kitchen is a way of making the bedroom more peaceful and, you know, creating some space for the books or school papers, for instance. Tammy says, calming, peaceful, and able to get a good night's rest and not worry about tripping over something in the dark. That is a big one. Nobody likes to be half asleep and tripping over something in the dark on the way to the bathroom in the middle of the night. So yes, we want a calm, peaceful place and no tripping hazards. So let's talk about what's keeping our audience from having their just right bedroom, their perfect bedroom. You have too many things in the room. That's by definition, whether that's furniture or stuff or clothes or projects or whatever's in there, you have too many things in the room. Things don't get put away regularly. If you're not resetting the bedroom, then it's going to be not comfortable, not peaceful. The need to clean takes precedence over decluttering. So cleaning is important, absolutely. And if you have energy, this sort of implies some energy restrictions, that it's more important to spend your energy making sure that it's clean versus trying to declutter. And so that would get in the way. If you burn all your energy, changing the bed and picking up the trash and making it clean in there, then you might not be getting to the decluttering, and that would create some mess. A furniture that doesn't fit well in the space. This happens a lot when people move from one place to another. And what fit in the old bedroom then doesn't necessarily fit in the new bedroom. It might be too big, too small. Some bad habits, like this room, almost more than any other, seems to be subject to the accumulation of clutter-forming habits and to neglect organizing habits. So we don't put the laundry away. We don't put the stuff away. We don't take the dirty dishes back to the kitchen. Somehow, because this room is where you go at the end of the day, or because it's not public facing, all of your sort of bad habits that create clutter and avoid organization happen and are manifest into this room. The other higher priorities become the public area. So if we're prioritizing what we want to organize, we almost always prioritize the public areas. And because the bedroom is a private area, it gets pushed down to the bottom of the list. And so it doesn't get as much attention because it's not considered a public area.
I was going to jump in and talk about the just for fun question we put on the survey, which was
okay
to list an item currently in your primary bedroom that you acknowledge has absolutely no business being in the bedroom.
Okay.
And we got some fairly typical answers like craft supplies, sewing storage caddy, wall painting still in boxes from a move because I don't know where to hang them, vacuum cleaner, my library and office. We also got some interesting ones like items I am storing there for family members and waiting until they visit next time to give it to them. That sounds like you're punishing yourself unnecessarily. a 4-foot cat scratcher.
Oh my.
And here's my here are a couple more good ones. My son's train table that he doesn't play with anymore. And my very favorite, deceased husband's fishing poles.
Oh, so I imagine those are in there because you're having a little bit of a hard time getting rid of them. I get it. But yeah, fishing poles, that is a disaster waiting to happen. Those tall, skinny poles fall over if you just puff air towards them. They're so annoying. So yeah, time to figure out a solution for that. You got to call some of his fishing buddies and ask them if they want some rods, or, you know, ask them to dispose of them for you. Just hand them over and tell them to go and redistribute them somewhere else. That will make it easier for you. Reassign that task to one of the buddies.
Yes.
Okay, so what have you been accepting just because you're overwhelmed? What have you been accepting in your bedroom as you're living with the chaos because you're overwhelmed? And what can you do in the bedroom instead to create your perfect sanctuary? So here's some ideas. We're going to talk about places that you can make a difference in the bedroom. Clear off the floor so there's a clean path to the bed. That floor being piled up with stuff is a problem. And not just by piling the stuff that's on the floor onto the bed or onto other furniture. I would also add that you need a clear path to the bathroom so it's not a hazard to go in the dark. You want to notice the things that are sitting against the wall or behind the chair or at the foot of the bed. When you don't remember what's over there in that pile or that box, it's time to deconstruct the pile. Verify that what you think is in a pile is really what's there. I often open boxes or take apart piles after clients declared what is over there, only to discover it has nothing to do with what they thought, or that that was only the top layer and many other items existed below that top layer of stuff. Sometimes your knowledge of what is in that pile is faulty, and you can actually clear it all up after all without too much effort. Pile interruptus happens when you stop in the middle of something and throw a bunch of stuff aside so you can suddenly go do another task. And the resulting pile is usually a surprise bundle of things that are just waiting to be put away and not so daunting a task after all. Every day I challenge clients to deal with pile interruptus, and it almost always gives them fast and fabulous results. So don't assume you know what's over there in that pile. Go take it apart and see what's there and see if you can get rid of some of it or all of it. Even if you can't get rid of all of it, you can reduce its footprint most often with some quick and easy reset, move things around, throwing trash out, and you can at least make the footprint smaller. If your bedroom's so overstuffed that you can't imagine clearing the floor, then just work on clearing the walking paths and then return to that clearing of the floor every day, day after day, until you clear all the way. But you can start with what is in the walking path. What is making it hard for me to open the bedroom door? What is making it hard for me to get up next to the bed? Can I clear out things that are from the bed to the bathroom or from the door to the bathroom? Can I make those paths wider? And so if you have to turn sideways to get to the dresser, then I think that's a perfect path to start deconstructing to make that wider and wider until you can actually walk to the dresser without having to turn sideways. If it's gotten that dense in there, then clearly you have a lot of work to do and it's going to take some time, but you can certainly start at the opening that you have and work your way out from there. And you can do that in any area of the floor is my point. So the next thing up for sanctuary building your perfect space, it's time to clean up the nightstand. So we know what the nightstand is. Nightstand is just like the end table that's next to your den chair. It's covered in stuff all the time. This space is just like the kitchen counter. It needs regular clearing off and it needs cleaning to keep it under control. So you'll find things that you need to do there, things you need to put away, and things you need to throw away. Because you put stuff there when you're ready to go to sleep. If you don't put things away when you get up, then the piles just grow from there. No shoveling it into the one drawer or the cabinet in the nightstand. The goal is to find all the things you stashed there because you didn't want to get back out of bed and finish the loop and reset it and put those things away. That chapstick from the winter when your lips were dry, the pain cream when you sprained your back 6 months ago, the mail you opened and you need to deal with. The nightstand has a weird collection of randomness that somehow made it to your bedside and it needs to walk back off again. So dig in until it's all clear and open the drawer or get into the cabinet or the shelf underneath and clear that out too. You're going to find an amazing amount of things that you're like, I shoved it there because I was ready to go to sleep and forgot about it. And you're going to be amazed what you find there and how easy it is to clear it out. More than any other room in the house, this is the room that you want to minimize distractions in. So keep only the furniture that you really need in there. Don't add spare items to this room. The less there is, the less junky it'll feel, and the less furniture there is to pile up with stuff. Every piece of furniture is some kind of horizontal surface that you can put things on. And so if you don't have extra furniture in there, you don't have something to throw things on, is my point. So less is more in the bedroom. If you can manage it, leave the TV outside the bedroom. It may help you fall asleep, but it's also going to wake you up again later. You know, you already have a phone in there and an e-reader, an iPad too. So how many screens do you need to interfere with your sleep? And TVs don't have a night shift mode. To make the colors warmer tones. They still have that bright blue light that stimulates your brain and keeps you awake. Let the bedroom signal rest to you by having nothing related to any kind of activities or screens be in there. The only electronic in my bedroom is my e-reader that I use to read every night. It has a night mode and I hide it when I'm ready to sleep. If there's nothing to do in your room but relax, read a bit and sleep, you're signaling to your mind that you're ready to sleep. It might improve your rest. You may be surprised how much that distractions and activities in there are interfering with your ability to calm down and go to sleep. This is one that I know you've heard me say a million times. You want to spend the 3 minutes hanging up or putting away the clothes that you wore that day. We all want to come home and quickly change to our at-home wear, and the good clothes just end up on a pile somewhere. If you spend 2 minutes hanging up just those clothes, at least there'll be less to trip on the floor. You've saved your clothes if you think that you can wear them again. You don't make a big wrinkled pile of them on the floor. And it only takes a couple of minutes to put those two things up, that shirt and those pants, that dress and those hose, whatever you had on. It's just going to take a few minutes to go and put it back. And your future self will be so happy that you did. Don't use the bedroom as a storage or a junk room. Your sanctuary is not the place for hiding stuff from public view. We all do it. Oh my gosh, somebody's coming over. Sling it in the box. Sling the box in the bedroom because they're not going in there. Okay, fine. But nobody ever does it in reverse. So you're just going to keep adding stuff you're hiding from people in the bedroom, except you're the one that has to look at it all the time. So it's not really helping you be peaceful. It's really kind of moving the clutter into the bedroom to yell at you. And it's certainly worth the effort of clearing it out just so that you will sleep better. So if you've run out of space elsewhere, then it's time to start sorting and purging those spaces. It's not time to expand the storage into the bedroom. If you are thinking, oh, I need to clear up this room and I'll go put it in the bedroom to get it out of the way, then stop immediately and listen to my voice tell you, no, 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 thin the herd instead. You don't need to be moving stuff into your bedroom. Don't let yourself hide it in the bedroom just for the party because you know it never comes out again. Company comes once in a while, but you sleep there every day. So why not take care of yourself 100% of the time instead of visitors who are there 5% of the time? If you didn't do so already, when we talked about the bedroom closet, you probably need to schedule a weekend to clean up the primary bedroom closet. Most of the clutter I find in a bedroom is the direct result of the closet not being usable or reachable anymore. The minute it gets hard to put things away, then putting things away stops completely and the piles on the floor are seeded into existence. Sure enough, right after that, you can't get to the closet to use it at all. So that means sorting and purging the clothes. If you have more clothes than will fit in the closet, you will never have a functional closet. You need to be able to hang up your clothes with some wiggle room to spare or the closet doesn't work. If you have the cash to spend, this is a good home upgrade that directly improves your life. So from custom built closets to Elfa shelves from the Container Store, it's money well spent if you can improve the functioning closet every day. These are options, things that you can do to make that sanctuary better for yourself, with the ultimate goal being everybody goes into the bedroom to rest and recuperate. And we know that getting good rest, we just keep learning more and more about getting good sleep, getting enough sleep, getting restful sleep makes all the rest of your body work well. We go to sleep so that our body can reset and rebuild itself and function better the next day. And if you're not getting good sleep, you're destroying your next day's functionality. So as I get older, it becomes more and more apparent. I can't go on 4 hours of sleep anymore. My body needs the time to sleep and reset. If you're having trouble doing that in your bedroom, now's the time to start clearing it out. And all you're doing is helping yourself cope better and live a better life.
Connie said, I have hooks on the outside of my closet doors to hang up clothes I want to decide on. No more floor storage.
Excellent.
Or as someone called it when we talked about this topic a previous time, floorage.
Florage, yes, I'd forgot about that.
we also talked about the floor drobe.
Those are good ones. The floor drobe. It's true. I'm not sure why people think the floor is the best place to store things, but it isn't. And it just causes problems all the way around.
Diane said, we have my in-laws bedroom set from 1955.
Oh.
It has cubbies on the headboard that I don't remember what I put in there. Need to clear it so I can actually put items I use and need.
Yes. I mean, they put those little cubbies there for the express purpose of I'm laying in bed and I'm ready to go to sleep and I need to get the stuff out of my hands and put them somewhere. And they gave you little cubbies to do that. And so absolutely reset them to be useful to you right now.
Deborah said, I have one wardrobe that I call Monica's closet.
But Monica's closet?
From friends.
Like friends?
She had a closet that was a nightmare. But where else can it go in 475 square feet?
Right. I know you are definitely living with the challenge of tiny, tiny spaces. And so more than anyone, you don't have the space to have excess stuff, right? So evaluating whether it needs to stay becomes super important. And figuring out if it's important enough to keep, can it be in some other part of the 475 square feet? And is it important enough to displace something else that's there already? Like, do you need to give away something else that's in the apartment to go put something out of the closet away? Trying to decide which ones have the priority, which one is the most important, I think is your daily challenge. And you're restricted by your space so that you have to be doing it all the time. So for the rest of you listening, you could be in Deborah's shoes. So no complaining. She has less than 500 square feet to figure out and try to make work. So you're not having that problem. You can make room and get rid of some stuff and not have to worry about it.
Gabriella said, I had a brilliant idea for clothes. I plan to keep only the clothes for the current season in my main closet and hang my clothes at night on a small rack/wardrobe where I want to lay out the clothes for the next day. Brilliant ideas in theory. Reality, don't ask.
So I guess you have to troubleshoot what about that theory is hanging you up? What about what part of that process didn't work for you and figure out if there's a way to fix it. It may be that you're being overly ambitious about how many steps. And maybe you just need to stage inside the closet, the clothes, you know, have an area of a foot of the closet rod that is for the stuff you're going to wear the next day, that you're going to stage to wear the next day instead of bringing them out of the closet and putting them somewhere else.
Sidron said, I built our storage bed frame. It holds a lot.
Anybody that has a headboard that has a little storage in it always overestimates how much storage it will be. It's usually, you know, small little spaces. And it's not like you're adding a closet to the bed. You're just adding a few little parking spaces. So it isn't a bulk storage solution. It's definitely designed to hold the small little bits and bobs that you have around the bed all the time, but it won't serve as an alternative storage container for large volumes of stuff. So just keep that in mind. You're trying to put your everyday active touch things away. You're not trying to build a piece of furniture over the bed that will hold a bunch of stuff that you don't get into.
Deborah said, she added, I like the restriction of a limited space. And I understand that there, you know, it
challenges you every day.
And it sets limits on what you can have. And, or if you don't honor the limits on what you can have, it sets limits on how much you can move.
Right. But, yeah. There's immediate feedback about it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. But then, you know, if you just listen to the constraint, if you pay attention to it and respect it, it can help you keep your habits going.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Rebecca, who's with us on Facebook, said, what isn't in my bedroom?
And that's the typical response, right? Like, we are subtracting things from all over the house that we need to deal with and we're not going to deal with right now. And we don't want somebody else to see it. And we don't want it to be in the living room because it's pretty. And we don't want it to be in the dining room because there's food and whatever. And somehow the bedroom becomes the alternative storage bin. And I don't quite understand that, but if you are stashing a bunch of stuff in the bedroom to either hide it from yourself or hide it from someone else, then it's time to go and dig that out and find out why you're saving all that stuff. Is it really just a bunch of deferred decisions and you need the decision-making to take place? Is it really that you're trying to save more than makes sense and giving up bedroom space is how you're accomplishing that? I push back on that theory. I think it's way more important that the bedroom be navigable, peaceful, comfortable, visually calm, you know, not overstimulating with a bunch of stuff. And you definitely don't want all of your home projects in your bedroom mentally barking at you all the time. Like, do me. You haven't cleaned, you haven't done, you haven't finished. All that chatter in the bedroom. Oh my gosh. That's just a definition for not getting enough sleep. I challenge you to see that bedroom as a problem and start digging it out so that you have some better results in there. I hate for people not to be getting sleep because they can't get into the bedroom, or it's obstructed, or it's, you know, shaming or distressing to be in there. None of that makes for good sleep. And I am my mother's daughter, and my mother was always saying to me, "You need to sleep, Gail. Go to bed. You need to sleep."
And you still never hear listened.
I never listened, but I do now. I never listened. I was young and silly.
At least one person, I think several people, mentioned work schedules or the demands of work as, you know, on the list of factors that stand in the way of having the just right bedroom. And that seems so, you know, self-denying or self-defeating, because that work, that demanding work, is only going to be more difficult and stressful if you're not sleeping well, if you're not taking good care of yourself.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And so if that's true, then I think prioritizing your time on the weekends, or prioritizing your 15 or 20 minutes at night, whenever you can bake in, you know, 15 or 20 minutes to try to make a difference, making it in the bedroom so that you sleep better and you're more comfortable there and you get a more restful sleep, you're paying yourself dividends by paying attention to the bedroom. If you don't have enough time to declutter the whole house, don't worry about the rest of the house. Start with the bedroom and get better rest. And if you do that, then you will be able to increasingly be able to get more done, be more focused, be more productive, because you're not exhausted all the time. I think that's a huge difference. It makes a huge difference. And so if you only have a little bit of capital to spend, a little bit of energy capital to spend on decluttering, make the bedroom a priority. And don't worry about the public spaces. Right now, you need to sleep in that bedroom every night, regardless of what else is going on in your life. And so you might as well spend some time now trying to make that bedroom be better. And if you can do that, then you will slowly get more energy and have better ability to focus in the other areas later. It's not an infinite room. It will not take forever. And if you spend the time there, you will reap the benefits in many ways. So make it a priority if you don't have a lot of energy to spend.
Susan said, "I brought things into the bedroom that needed sorting, definitely deferred decisions, because I like it in the bedroom, but the stuff is still there, not tackled."
Right. So those deferred decisions have now just become barking noise in your room, right? They're just, they're making the irritation for you. So I would take one of them back out and put them somewhere that makes you address that, and put them in the living room, put them in the den, put them in the kitchen, and sit there and tackle. And maybe, you know, the boxes you've made are too big and you can't tackle them all in one sitting. That's fine. So go grab a handful of stuff, and every time you walk by it, take something out of the box and go put it somewhere. We go in and out of the bedroom a million times. This is just like going up and down the stairs a million times. We put things at the bottom of the stairs that we need to take up to the next floor, and then we walk by them without taking anything. So the bedroom can be the same thing. If you have boxes in the bedroom, pull something out of the box. And when you go into the kitchen, when you leave the bedroom, take something with you that needs to go somewhere else. It doesn't have to be the whole box. It can just be one thing. And ultimately you will empty stuff that way. But every time you leave the bedroom, have something in your hand that needs to be redirected or put somewhere else. And maybe it's, I found something in the box that I'm going to donate and I need to go put it in the donate pile. Okay, that works. Whatever you have to do with it, this is trash, I need to go put it in the trash can. Okay. If you take something out of the box every time you go buy it, eventually the box will be empty and you can get rid of it. So having a collection of things that needs to be sorted in there now has just become a bigger project that you are waiting for the time to deal with all of it. And we know how that shuts everybody down. That's just a recipe to keep you from getting started. So I would say start grabbing stuff out of the box one thing at a time and dealing with it, and don't do it all in one sitting, so that eventually you've worked your way through all of it one little piece at a time.
Gabrielle expanded on the wardrobe issue. She said, my problem is that I have to bring my clothes of other seasons to the attic. This is a really hard and challenging plan. In theory, this is the solution for my small wardrobe, but it takes many extra steps that overwhelm me.
Yeah, putting things away in the attic is never, you know, that's never an easy project. Climbing up the ladder to get in the attic, boxing stuff up to be up there safely and not be ruined, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe there's a better solution. Maybe the small wardrobe is too small and it needs to be bigger. Maybe it needs to be a different piece of furniture. Maybe some of the clothes need to be donated away. You don't need to keep everything and put up everything that you're trying to put away. Somebody here suggested, are there suitcases that you can put out of season clothes in? That's a good one. Everybody has empty suitcases laying around the house and they're parked somewhere in a closet somewhere. And so folding up and putting away a collection of out of season clothes in that suitcase while it's waiting, while you're not traveling, that's a good thing to do with it. Now, if you suddenly have to take a trip, then you got to barf clothes out in order to use the luggage. But you can keep one piece of luggage that is the one that you use the most often empty, and use the other pieces of luggage that you use sometimes and fill those up with clothes. And that would at least prevent you from having to take them all into the attic. Without knowing more about your arrangement and the volume there, it sounds to me like there's a project. I mean, like the idea of putting the clothes in the attic is a non-starter for you. Like that's again, a theory of a good place to put them, but in execution, not something you're willing to do or something that is possible to do alone or that you can do easily. And so it's not really a good plan. So I think we need to abandon the attic plan and come up with a different one. One that you're more willing to do and that's easier to accomplish.
She said, my attic is an extra room with a big window. It's not as bad as, what we typically think of. She's in Hamburg.
Right, Germany. Right, right.
Not as bad as what, you know, a typical U.S. attic, which is, you know, sure. Not.
But she's declared it difficult.
But it's still a difficulty.
Yeah. So if it's not something that you are comfortable doing, if it's not a project or a process that you find to be easy or able to get completed, then it doesn't matter that it's an extra room with a big window. It doesn't work well for you. So coming up with a better solution, that one that you're willing to do, is what I'm suggesting. I mean, it doesn't matter why the attic extra room doesn't work for you or is difficult or hard or has many steps. It just means that it's too hard to do. So there you go. Whatever makes it difficult is what's slowing you down. So pick a different one, find a different way. That's the only point I'm making.
Brigitte said, I love the idea of a guilt-free bedroom. It's right? Really energizing to love what I see when I awake instead of feeling pushed starting the day. That's a great point. You know, you want the first thing you see when your eyes open should be not anything that upsets you, not anything
not something
that
yelling you feel, at you.
Right? Makes you feel guilty, makes you feel shame.
Right, exactly. And you know, I'm not a morning person. You guys know that I'm such a night owl. I'm not a morning person. And so it's hard enough for me to get going in the morning. And if my bedroom was yelling at me in the morning, that would just sour my mood instantly. As soon as I woke up, I would just be like grumpy about it. And so having it be a place that you can ease into comfortably without having a negative emotional response, so much better, right? So much better way to start your day. I love the visual of that. That's a great, thanks for pointing that out. It's a really good, you know, it does, it's the first thing you see and you have to, you're not even conscious yet. And if you get up and the room starts yelling at you as soon as you're awake, what's the difference between that and having your spouse yelling at you as soon as you're awake? It's no different. It's just, it's definitely going to throw your day off. So cleaning that up so that it's not interfering, it's not annoying, it's not shocking or distressing. This is a good thing. It makes cleaning the bedroom worth it every morning.
Lise said, developing allergies was the best motivation for me to clear out the bedroom. I keep the room to bare things, bed, dresser, stool, less dust, easy to clean.
That's a good one. Yeah, and you know, sleeping with allergies is the worst. So keeping your bedroom clear.
Well, and you're, you know, it's unavoidable for the bedroom to get dusty because, as unpleasant as is to say, a big component of dust is human hair and skin, you know, skin cells. And if you're in there 7 or 8 hours a night, you're sloughing all the time. And
you're so adding to the dust.
Any furry little creatures that share the bed with you, adding right. They're all adding to the dust all night too.
Exactly. And allergies interfere with proper rest as well, right? Like if your allergies are triggered while you're trying to sleep, then it just makes it harder for you to get good rest as well. So I know we all attempt to deal with allergies with medications and all that kind of stuff, but why make it harder for your body to recover, right? Like if you're taking the meds to deal with allergies anyway, then your body's already fighting really hard. Why make it worse by making the bedroom contribute to triggering your allergies? It's a perfect place to spend your limited capital on cleaning and reducing what will collect there, getting rid of anything that is going to add to your allergies so that you can sleep more peacefully at night and get better rest.
Christine, who's with us on Facebook, shared, I make it a point to keep all my doors open in the house. That helps to keep my bedroom clean. This way it's not bugging me. That almost sounds like it could be a challenge, you know, the open bedroom door challenge. You know, like, can you get your bedroom to the point where you would be okay leaving the door open?
Leaving the door open and letting people see in there.
We have a friend who has a 3-bedroom house. But there's one bedroom that we're not allowed to see or talk about where her husband has some collections.
Yeah.
And so we actually joke about it, you know, like how we just choose to imagine that there's nothing between this room and that room. We don't even see that door in between. And I think that's, you know, that's a compromise that my friend has had to make, you know, to live with the man that she loves.
Right. Is, you know, and
as long as we keep this door closed and pretend that there's not a room here, I can be okay with it.
And not the first compromise between spouses who, you know, you can have your man cave and it can be a total destruction zone and I'm closing the door so I don't have to look at it. I totally get that people do that. And there's a certain amount of resistance to, if one of you is more comfortable with clean and decluttering and the other one is not so much, one person gets really worried about it, the other person doesn't care at all. And that can be the compromise where they're constantly under pressure to be decluttering and cleaning things when they wouldn't normally do it. And having the room where they can sort of let their hair down and ignore the rest of the household rules is kind of like, you know, having a steam valve on the pressure cooker, right? Like you're giving them the space to be themselves and closing the door so you don't have to look at it. It's a good one. It's a good compromise.
Before we get to the tittle and closing announcements, I wanted to share, you know, we've been asking in all of our surveys for people to share their suggestions for future topics. And I wanted to say a couple of things about that. One is I know we get a lot more responses than we have time to share or quote. And we want to thank everybody for participating in the surveys, because there are just a ton of great ideas in there and things that I think we will, you know, will go toward development of future episodes. One topic suggestion that I wanted to call your attention to, and I don't necessarily see this as fodder for a whole episode, but I just kind of wanted to get your response to it anyway. And the suggestion was, what to do when just surviving is a lot of work? How do I continue to declutter and keep spaces functional when I'm having a hard time existing?
Oh, been there, done that. I totally understand when just managing to get through your day is a challenge, then dealing with decluttering is the first thing that falls off. And so I think it's most important to be taking care of yourself around this. I don't want to say to you that I think that you should power through or, you know, try to keep going, even though, like, I don't think that's the point. I think the point here is, if you're struggling to be existing, I think it's super important to take care of yourself first and make sure you're getting good rest and make sure you're getting the support you need and make sure that you're eating well and taking care of yourself, because that person that's struggling to exist is probably running on empty in a couple of areas. And focusing, yeah, Gabrielle says, focus on your self-care routines. Giving support to that person that feels stretched thin to the point of breaking is the signal that that's where your focus needs to be right now. And once you've improved your self-care and you feel better, then you will have the energy to turn and deal with some of this other stuff next.
Sidron says, start with the breathing. And I think if you're in this position where just existing calls for all the energy you have, then, maintaining any self-care routines you have, if you have meditated, get a little of that into, you know, get a little meditation into your routine if you can. If you have the energy to do a little yoga, do your yoga, do things that make you comfortable and things that make you feel safe, and put off the clutter a little longer.
Right. It'll still be there when you get back. And when you are on empty, when the tanks are on empty, you really don't have any decision-making capacity anyway. It's right, like you don't have any resources to make decisions about what should stay or go. You can't plan processes. You can't plan storage systems. You don't have the brain power to cope. And so reaching out and finding the support that you need, therapy, friends, like we said, sleeping, rest, relaxation, massage, all of your self-care things that help you feel better, will give you back to the person that has the capacity to deal and make decisions. But struggling to deal with clutter on an empty tank just is a recipe for frustration and not being able to accomplish. You'll like try to focus on it, but then you can't make decisions, or you can't decide what to do with stuff, or you can't decide where to put something. And then you just feel more frustrated and more burnt. And so getting yourself to a position of feeling like you have the energy to make those decisions and to focus and be productive is way more important. And so give over to self-care for a little while, and then come back to the decluttering, because it will still be there. It won't be walking off by itself. And when you're ready, you can deal with that. And if you have any energy at all, I would worry about putting, you know, cleaning the dirty dishes, scrubbing out the toilet, anything that will help your space feel
more comfortable, more attractive.
And, you know, and not toxic. Like, you need it to be clean and safe to live in. And so keeping the kitchen sink clear, keeping the bathroom, you know, cleaned, the toilet scrubbed, that kind of stuff will help you, you know, not add to your troubles by having the kitchen be toxic when you're making food. So, and come back to the clutter later. This is just like people that are in grief, right? Like when you're in grief, you have half your energy, your focus is elsewhere, and this stuff's not going anywhere. So you can come back to it later.
Cassandra said, I would recommend a book, How to Keep House While Drowning.
Oh. It's
written by a mental health professional. We'll have to take a look for that one.
That sounds like a promising title, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. We should get to talking about, speaking of topic suggestions, we will be back next week, our usual time, Tuesday, August 23rd at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. And we're going to talk about incompletions, meaning unfinished DIY projects, unfinished art or craft projects, stacks of partially read books, bins full of the cooking magazines that you're going to clip recipes out of someday, and so on and so forth. We'll have a survey about this because we want to hear about your incompletions. What have you got going on in your life that you started and can't quite seem to bring yourself to
finish? All those things that you started and then you've put aside.
So join us next week. I don't have a snappy title for it yet, but it's going to be about incompletions. And Gail, why don't you tell us about the tittle?
Okay, so this week's tittle, Claiming Your Sanctuary. This week's assignment is to take a step towards making your primary bedroom the peaceful oasis that you desire, all with the goal of getting better sleep. Try any or all these suggestions for claiming or reclaiming your soothing space. First, you want to identify an item that doesn't belong in the bedroom. Many of you already did this step as part of answering our survey, which was awesome. Assign it a storage space elsewhere or assess whether you're ready to rehome, recycle, or otherwise dispose of the item. Next step, clear the bedside table. Trim the space down to the bare minimum you require to go to bed tonight. For example, the alarm clock, the book you're currently reading, your reading lamp, a coaster for the glass of water. You don't want a million things on that bedside table getting in your way, trying to be knocked off by the cats. So pare it down to the bare minimum. Next step, conduct a noise and light audit. So after the sun goes down, visit your bedroom with the lights off for a few minutes and pay attention to any sources of light or sound, such as electronics, chargers, doors or windows that don't close properly. Take any steps you can to remove these potentially sleep-disturbing disruptions. I think we get used to stuff we forget, we don't realize. And so if you can walk in the bedroom with the lights off while it's dark outside and just stand there for a few minutes and see what's generating light, what's generating noise that might be disturbing you, and try to mitigate or get rid of those sources, it may help you sleep better. Consider adding a new highlight. Look around your home for a memento or a decor object that signifies peace, rest, comfort, or any mood that you'd like to cultivate in the bedroom. Make space for this item in your bedroom to serve as a trigger or a reminder of the feeling of relaxation that you want to evoke there. Just an extra little, oh, look, that's a peaceful picture and it makes me feel peaceful when I look at it. That's something that we're suggesting there.
One I have in my bedroom is this beautiful painting of two sheep standing in a field, like face to face. And to me, that just screams repose, you know?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live to get notifications about upcoming events. We invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by visiting cfhou.com/Facebook. or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us your questions, comments, and topic suggestions on YouTube, Facebook, in response to our surveys, and anywhere else that you find us. You can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thank you so much. We are so glad that you came today, and we are wishing you happy sleeping. We want everybody to be getting good rest. So today's show is all about improving your experience in the bedroom, and we hope you got some good tips, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye-bye. Bye.